deals 1 and 2. Knuckleball tapped on the ground to third. Charged by Donaldson from the grass. Quick throw to first, and he throws it down the right field line. Heredia makes a quick turn, goes to second base. Travis picks it up, and the Mariners have the winning run at second base. As Donaldson uncorked a throw there to first base and missed his target. And the pitch on the way, Gamble pops a one-hop bunt to the mound, taken by Goins, throw to third tag, and the ball dropped by Donaldson. They had him. The umpire went up with his fist, calling him out, and then Donaldson dropped the ball. Pitch, line to left field deep. That's going to do it. Back is Melvin Upton, tagging Heredia. He's heading home, and Seattle's going to win it here, 2-1 in 12 innings.
It's At the Letters for Thursday, September 22nd. On Sportsnet.ca and on iTunes. We are your Sportsnet Toronto Blue Jays podcast. My name is Arden Zwelling. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Ben Nicholson-Smith. Ben, what is happening?
Well, not a whole lot on this end, but 4-3 road trip for the Blue Jays. So pretty solid.
Wasn't that your call? I think you said 4-3. I said 3-4.
Yeah, and yet it doesn't seem like the kind of huge success that a West Coast swing where you have a winning record might normally be, just because the Boston Red Sox seem to never lose.
Yeah, they're done with that. The division's over. Like, the division's done. I'll call it right now.
Yeah.
Today. It's over. Put a fork in it. It's forget about it. Like, just forget about it. It doesn't matter anymore. Right now, the Toronto Blue Jays need to stay in the driver's seat in the wild card race. I'll quickly run down where they are right now. They're in the first wild card spot. Baltimore occupies second, and then you've got Detroit and Houston a game back of Baltimore, Seattle 2 games back of Baltimore, and the Yankees still kind of hanging around, 2.5 back of Baltimore, coming into the Rogers Center for a 4-game series. Tanaka's going to be pitching in this series. I think you're going to get CeCe, who hasn't been that bad lately. Gary Sanchez just hits nothing but home runs. It's kind of a scary series for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I think especially given that Tanaka's going to be pitching on Monday, and he's kind of quietly had the kind of season that should put him in the Cy Young conversation.
100%. I mean,
best ERA in the American League. That's going to be a tough one. And then you're going up against a team that, you know, I don't want to say they have nothing to lose, because every team has something to lose, but they're kind of playing with house money here, and they're playing pretty well in the last little while. They've played some of their best baseball of the season, not necessarily in the last week, 10 days, but over the course of the last couple months, they're trending in the right direction.
I think that's a good point, that if the Yankees don't make the postseason, nobody's going to be upset, right? Like, their fan base is going to be upset. Media's not going to, nobody's going to be upset about it, because well, look at, you know, how bright the future is. And you guys weren't even supposed to still be here. You were supposed to be long gone, and it's September 22nd. You're still hanging around. Nobody's going to be upset about that. So you're right. They are playing with house money, whereas the Blue Jays have everything to lose. If they miss the postseason, yeah, that's disastrous.
It would be. Yeah. I think that for a team with this much talent and with a lot of players probably heading elsewhere after this season, you want to take advantage of this year. They've put a lot of resources into making this year happen, making this year a good one. And they're on track to make the playoffs, but by no means do they have a guarantee. When you look at how close Houston and Detroit are, and also you look at the fact that the Jays from this point on only play winning teams, only play teams that are in the mix for the playoffs.
Yeah, that little kind of soft spot in the schedule is long gone. And it went all right. You drop 2-3 to the Rays, you split the series with the Angels, and you take 2-3 against the Mariners. So it's basically a push in a stretch where the Blue Jays could have made some hay, could have won some more games. I don't know. It was an interesting road trip. They looked so good to start the Angels series. Those first 2 games, everything was clicking. And then the next 2 games, I mean, just such a flat team for 2 games, and then they go into Seattle. They win a really close game in the first one, and it's a great, great game. And then the second one, the bats come alive, and they're the old Blue Jays again. And then on Wednesday, they can't get a hit, and the fielding's suspect. And it's like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of scenario right now with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, and I think that the main reason that they seem so inconsistent comes down to their offense, and it's maybe oversimplifying things to say that they're just not hitting enough, but I think it's true. And you look at how well this team hit early in the season, that was their calling card. That's the way that they were designed. And they haven't hit this month. I mean, they're hitting .233 as a team, .684 OPS as a team. It's just not enough. I mean, this is a team that's built to mash, and the rotation's done its part. the bullpen, okay, up and down. It's not a deep bullpen, but they've got a few good arms in there. And yet the offense just hasn't done enough to put this team in position to take advantage of some decent pitching.
I would agree with that. I think that, and it's, I don't know, at this point, you just kind of have to say the Blue Jays just aren't going to be a hitting club. Like, they just, for whatever reason, like, it's so weird to have, like, this team with, like, how many guys on this team have 20-plus bombs? Like, six?
Batista, 19, close, yeah. Knocking on that door, too.
Right? So, I mean, like, and to say that it's not a good hitting team is so weird, but, and yet, over this month, they just can't put up runs.
I think they're a good hitting team, maybe falling short of a great hitting team. Is that fair?
Can you say this is a great hitting team?
That's what I mean. Yeah. I wouldn't say they're a great hitting team. I would say they're a good hitting team.
Yeah. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys with 20 or more. So Jose Bautista would be the sixth. And I would expect him to hit one more home run over the final 10 games. So you have six guys with 20 or more homers. One of them has 42, Edwin Encarnacion, who's really, I mean, that's the, that if you're facing Toronto Blue Jays, that's the guy that you're saying, don't let him beat us.
Yeah. I think especially looking at Donaldson.
Exactly. Like that, Edwin Encarnacion is like, he is the guy right now. Josh Donaldson's clearly banged up, clearly not the hitter that he is capable of being due to injuries. Edwin Encarnacion, like, credit to this guy. He's played every single day this year, I believe, except for the one that he was suspended.
Wow.
I believe that's the only game he's missed. It's remarkable. It's 150 games. Yeah, that's the only game he missed, is when he's been suspended. A guy who, coming into this year, people are saying, well, do you want to give this guy big money because he's always banged up and, he's balanced the thumb stuff and he's going for surgery right after the season and stuff like this. I mean, he's out there every single day playing first base, DHing, putting up gaudy numbers, due for a very big payday, that guy.
Huge payday.
Credit to him.
Oh, yeah. I think that it seems like he's headed for a 4-year deal. Maybe even someone gives him 5. I mean, clearly a player who's going to be worth more than $20 million a season in free agency, and understandably so when you look at 42 home runs and counting. And this is someone that's been consistent for the team basically for most of the season. I think he avoided his typical slow start, and he's been, as far as a power producer, he's been the team's top player.
He's really a complete package in that he's a good teammate. He's a quiet guy in the clubhouse, so he's not gonna be someone that people detest or somebody who's kind of, me first or anything like that. Like, he's very humble, unassuming, so you're not worried about that. I mean, the one worry really was the durability. He's kind of settled, he's washed that away. Josh Donaldson, speaking of durability, clearly not himself right now. Over the last 14 days, so that would be 46 plate appearances for Josh Donaldson. He's got 709 OPS. He's hitting 194. That's not good. The power is way down. I mean, you can see that the swing is different. Like, you're just not seeing those, like, those huge... He's got one home run in September. I mean, you're just not seeing those kind of big cuts. I think the ball's still coming off his bat really hard, and I think that he's still a very useful player, but this is kind of like diet Josh Donaldson right now.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, I think that just based on his descriptions of how he's able to swing while he's battling this hip issue, sounds like he's able to swing hard, but maybe not that typical Josh Donaldson swing that's going all out every single swing. So, yeah, you look at the power numbers, you look at the 660 OPS in September from someone who really is accustomed to producing way more on offense than that. And defensively, too, in that finale against the Mariners, didn't have a good inning, and that throwing error led to that Seattle run. So, he's still an MVP candidate. He's still someone who should be considered among the elite players in Major League Baseball, but he's not at his very best right now.
Yeah, and the ball's still coming off his bat. All right, since Saturday, he has put 5 balls in play over 100 miles per hour, and 3 of them have gone for outs. So there's a bit of bad luck in there. Like, he's clearly still able to square it up. I don't know if maybe it's an issue with he can't quite get like the angle on balls that he needs to hit home runs and put him out. But if you're the Blue Jays and Josh Donaldson's hitting second, you don't really need him to hit home runs right now. Hit doubles, hit singles, get on base. He's still walking, as he should, because he's one of the best hitters in the game. I mean, get on base. I mean, I think you can be okay. Like, I don't think this is the worst thing in the world.
Right. After Thursday, it gets tough too, because the Blue Jays then go into a stretch where they don't have any off days before the end of the season. So it's going to be a grind. And I would think that as long as the Blue Jays have something to play for, he's going to be in there. Just as every one of their regulars, save for maybe Russell Martin, gets the occasional off day. Other than that, I think these guys are going to be in there because the stakes are so high, and you can't afford to say, okay, we're gonna try to rest someone up now the way you might in a season where the stakes aren't as high.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Jose Bautista, maybe kind of going through something similar. He hit the home run last night in Seattle in the ninth inning. Was, I mean, absolutely huge against guys throwing gas. It's like a 99-mile-an-hour fastball on the inside half, and Jose just hammered it, like absolutely crushed it. So, like, clearly still, a great hitter. Clearly still capable of doing that. But you look at over his last 14, as I quickly pull it up here, yeah, he doesn't actually look that bad. 814 OPS over his last 58 plate appearances. Getting on base, 414 OBP. I mean, you're not seeing a ton of hits, but he's walking a ton. He's been on base. He's got that crazy streak of reaching base. He's all right.
Yeah.
He's okay.
Right.
I kind of started this sentence being like, Jose Bautista's not doing that well, but he's actually hitting better.
Exactly.
Than you would think.
And I think the real perception around Bautista is that he's having a disappointing year. And yeah, compared to last year when he hit 40 home runs, this is a disappointing year. But even then, he's got a 358 on base percentage. He's going to hit 20 home runs, assuming that he hits one more before the end of the season. That's a productive year, even if it's not up to the standard of someone who's twice been a home run champion.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think he's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So the Blue Jays are fine, Ben. It's all okay. We figured it out.
So when you look at this, when you look at the teams behind them, so Houston and Detroit, they're not far. That's the one thing. And the Blue Jays have been in playoff position for a long time, but the Astros, the Tigers, they are not far from the Blue Jays, which has got to be, not that you think of that if you're going out there and taking the field, but it's got to be lurking at least in the minds of the Blue Jays front office.
That they are just a couple games back.
From losing their grasp on a playoff spot.
Yeah, I'd imagine the front office has considered that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it can't be a pleasant thought either. When you look at those teams, and I think that, Houston, Detroit, they're flawed teams too, but the Blue Jays are not the overpowering type of club that they were last year, and they're gonna have to finish reasonably strong to even have the chance to get back to the ALDS.
500 finish, does that put the Blue Jays in a postseason position?
Yeah, because if they go 5-5, they win 88. I think 88 gets you in.
Is a wild card berth a postseason berth?
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
I don't know, because it's like a play-in game to get into the postseason, right? Like, it's kind of nebulous. But it's like, what, do you believe that the winner of that wild card game is a postseason team and the loser isn't? Or do you believe they're both postseason teams?
I think they're both postseason teams. I think that Major League Baseball has just kind of diluted what it means to be a postseason team. It used to be, back in the day, two teams made the playoffs. And if you made the playoffs, it meant that you made the World Series, and that was a huge deal. Now it's not quite as impressive to make the playoffs, but yeah, I think that any of those teams that reach the wild card game, you've made the playoffs.
It's handy to say that they are a postseason team, because then it could be like Russell Martin's been the postseason X times out of X or whatever, right? Like, and you can do things like that. I don't know. To have your postseason be one game. What other sport? I guess football is the only, what other North American sport is like that?
I think, it's definitely unique to baseball, and it kind of runs counter to the way that baseball is played for every other day of the year, right? Because if you're in the regular season, you've got 162 to prove that you're a good team. Even if you're in the playoffs, you've got somewhere between 5 and 7 games to prove that you're better than the other team. So it almost becomes this Super Bowl-like feel. It's very different than normal baseball. I think that's part of what makes it fun, but I definitely think you reach the wild card game after 162, You've earned the right to call yourself a postseason team.
Raise that banner. Wild card participant.
Teams do it, man. Teams do it.
Have teams raised wild card banners?
Well, like, when you look at, on the game notes, for example, when you look at, let's say, for the Orioles, they would say, World Series champion, 1983. And then they would say, division champion, your X, Y, and Z. And then they would have wild card team, 2012. That I am sure that's on there. I don't know if they've raised a banner, but that goes on the the team's record as far as their biggest accomplishments.
All the just salty people in this town, if they raise a wild card, say they lose in a wild card game and they put up a wild card banner, people are just going to crap all over it.
Well, it comes down to expectations, right? Yeah. Because this team was expected to do so much more. And I 100% think that the fans should be disappointed if this team ends up flaming out in the wild card game. That for a team that had this much talent and was defending a division title, they were expected to do more than a wild card game.
Right. Speaking of people who are expected to do more, Devin Travis. What's going on with the Devin Travis defense? Devin Travis is out here proving that there is nobody in that Toronto sports fans will not turn on. You know what I mean? Like the nicest guy in the world, like such a great contributor, the one consistent hitter, like he, you know, had the hitting streak and, you know, like everybody on the team loves him and he's cheery and he talks to Barry whenever Barry wants, you know, like, and he just does anything, like he'll do anything for you out here showing they will turn on anybody.
Yeah. I think that as much as Travis has struggled, which his defense has been very poor this month, but the notion that the Blue Jays should replace him with Ryan Goins is
absurd.
Is absurd.
Absurd.
Yeah.
I heard you answer it on the radio the other day and you were much nicer about it, but it's absurd. Yeah. It's an insane thing to do. That's like saying like this car is too heavy. Oh, well, let's just get rid of the engine. Well, yeah, but now the car doesn't go anywhere. Right. Now it doesn't go. You know what I mean? Like taking away the offense is going to hurt you so much more than having maybe one more defensive play made.
Right. Because it's not like Travis is botching every defensive chance.
No.
He's messed up too many times. There's no question about that. But at the same time, we've seen Ryan Goins as a hitter. And this is nothing against Ryan Goins, who, by the way, he's played every position this year except for center field and catcher. And that obviously includes pitcher.
Right.
That's a valuable player. I think that if the Blue Jays, we'll get to this later, I think if they're in a wild card game, he deserves serious consideration. If they're in a division series, he probably warrants consideration for the roster. But as a starter, when you have a second baseman on your team who's hitting 300, who's got an OPS close to 800, I'm not sure when that became a discussion or why.
It's because there has been a couple glaring miscues. The one that went off his knee, like into the right field corner, that's something I've never seen happen before in my life. Do you know the one I'm talking about in that two error inning? It's a game they ended up winning 1-0 in Seattle.
Right.
Right? Right before they put up that eight spot in the bottom or the top half of the next inning, Devin Travis made two pretty crucial errors and allowed two runs to score. And one of them was it went off his knee and flew like 150 feet. Like, I've never seen that before. Like, it's unbelievable. I think sometimes Devin Travis falls victim to the fact that he can just, like, he tries so hard to get to balls. And he, because those were two tough plays he was trying to make. Like, we haven't seen too many routine plays, I think. There was a throw from Martin the other day that just clanged off his glove. That was like, all right, that's a catch you should make. Like, that's something you should do. But some of the miscues I've been like, well, you know, the guy is, like, ranging like so far to his left or to his right off a really scorched ball and like, you know, just not coming up with it. You know, let me put it this way. Who do you think would have better defensive metrics, Devin Travis or Jose Altuve?
I mean, I would think Jose Altuve would.
You would be incorrect.
Huh.
By DRS, Devin Travis and Jose Altuve are both even at zero. By UZR, Devin Travis is a 1.3 and Jose Altuve is a -0.1.
But you would still say Altuve is a better defender than Travis.
By the metrics.
But what do you think? What does Arden Swelling think?
What do I think? I think they're both comparable. I think they're both pretty short, stocky guys who get to a lot of balls. I think Devin Travis gets to a lot of balls and makes a lot of plays.
I would take Jose Altuve's defense over Travis, for sure.
Feel free. I mean, yeah. I don't think that Devin Travis is a bad defender.
No, he's going through a bad defensive stretch, though, and this is a very important time.
Right.
Yeah.
So the metrics are broken, you're saying?
I'm saying that...
It's just data, man. It's just empirical.
That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that the metrics are useful and that Jose Altuve has very consistently played solid defense at the big league level. And Travis is still trying to establish himself as someone who can do that.
Fair.
Offensively, though, 155 big league games, 18 home runs, 305 average, 817 OPS. That's kind of a full season. that he's spent in the big leagues now, those numbers are tremendous. I mean, they're really impressive offensive numbers. And you can't find that in free agency. You can't find that certainly on the bench with Ryan Goins. It's just the kind of production that's made him a leadoff hitter on a pretty good offensive team. And it's why he should remain in their everyday lineup.
Better defender, Devin Travis or Rougned Odor?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know. What do you think?
I just know the numbers, Ben.
So what do you say?
I just know the numbers. UZR, Devin Travis, 1.3. Rougned Odor, -11.5. Defensive runs saved. Devin Travis is at 0. Rougned Odor, -9.
But if we're looking at the big picture, which those numbers do, then you're going to see someone who's been overall pretty consistent. If you look at the errors totals, then overall he's been pretty solid. But I think that what people are talking about is in the last little while, he's made a run of mistakes.
The point I'm trying to make is that you start, like, a guy makes a couple of mistakes, and you're right, he's had a couple poor games defensively, and he makes a couple of mistakes, and all of a sudden it's, oh, well, this is why the Tigers sold him. He's not a good defender. We need to put him at DH and put in Ryan Goins to hit. And he's a good defender.
Yeah.
He's fine.
He's also
made a couple of mistakes in some very, like, highly magnified spots.
That's been a hugely successful trade for the Blue Jays. And I think that if you're looking at long-term pieces for the success of this franchise, Travis is
a core piece.
He's not one or two, but he's a core piece. You know, he's on that relatively short list of the core pieces for this team.
Watch the, like, if you have MLB TV, watch the out-of-town broadcasts when you're watching the games. And I guarantee you at least once a game, one of the broadcasters will say, I really like this Travis guy. Like, this guy brings a lot of energy. This guy, like, he has a great swing and he gets to a lot of balls. And this is a really good player. This is a useful piece that the Blue Jays have right here.
Big time.
So I just want to take a big old bucket of cold water and just pour it on that. Because Devin Travis isn't the problem.
Right.
And go ahead.
For the most part, I think that's how the Blue Jays will react.
Oh, I think 100%. I don't think the Blue Jays for a second are considering, hey, let's take a massive hit on offense so that maybe one, like, more way out of his zone play gets made at second base.
Yeah.
What is the problem is team hitting in general.
Yeah.
Not coming up with, and like the Orioles have kind of had similar issues lately where they're just not getting that big hit with runners on. You know, like, how many opportunities did the Blue Jays have yesterday in that Mariners game? You know, like, leadoff doubles or, you know, runners on second and third with less than two out and, like, just not able to cash them and not able to bring them in.
Yeah, and I think that's probably, I wonder, this is a spot where I would very much like to see the numbers, but I wonder across baseball, you know, when you look at trying to bring runners home with less than two outs from third base.
How successful.
Yeah, you know, compared to years past, because I would guess it's down. Just because if you have so many guys striking out, it's harder to make contact, it's harder to hit a ground ball to the right side or hit a fly ball that would score a runner. So, you know, I wonder, you look at the Cubs and their success, this is the best team in baseball, and they haven't always had success bringing home runners in that situational hitting. So I don't know. It's not surprising to me that the Blue Jays and Orioles are both struggling, and there's no denying that when it happens, for a team, that's a real, you know, it's a downer when you're that close to scoring and you're not able to convert.
And part of it is how magnified these situations are. But I think it's tough to watch yesterday's game and look at, you know, top of the 10th, Michael Saunders leads off with a double, right? Ryan Goins bunts him over. Then Kevin Pillar, there was a great play made by Mike Freeman on that diving play, but Kevin Pillar expanded the zone a lot. It's not a pitch you should swing at. It's really not. And, like, Kevin Pillar has that ability to put an amazing amount of barrel on a ball that he should have had no business being able to hit. But you just, in that situation, you just have to be a bit more patient, which I guess asking for patience for Kevin Pillar is a tough thing to do. But still, so it's tough to watch that in the top of the 10th. And then in the top of the 11th, Josh Donaldson has a single. Hard line drive. Edwin Encarnacion walks behind him. And then you get a Jose Bautista strikeout on, I believe, three pitches. And then Russell Martin grounds into a double play. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. Those are your opportunities right there. That's the game. Those two innings. That's it.
Yeah. And I think that with the upcoming slate of games that they have, Yankees, Orioles, you're going to have to get to starting pitching. Because especially against that Orioles series next week, which is really going to be interesting. Potential preview, obviously, of the wild card game. The Orioles starting pitching is just so, I mean, other than Gausman and Tillman, they have nothing, right?
Yeah.
So that's when you have to get some leads early in the game so that late in games, if you're trying to convert a runner from third with one out and you can't do it, then hopefully by that point, you've already built up some sort of a lead.
Maybe it'll help the Blue Jays that they're going to be facing some more established pitchers, because it seems like those are the only guys that can hit.
Except for Jared Weaver, who somehow shuts this team down.
When they get like, oh, this guy was, you know, pitching at, you know, Double A Albuquerque last week, he comes in and like mows him down.
And then
when it's, you know, I don't know, Cole Hamels in the ALDS or something, like that, all of a sudden we're good.
Yeah, it's pretty puzzling to try to figure out what patterns, you know, lie behind the Blue Jays offensive struggles, but one way or another, they just have not hit enough in recent weeks.
That is fair, and a good place to step away for a second here on ATL. When we come back, we're going to talk about wild card games and what they mean and what maybe you should be expecting as your Blue Jays barrel towards one at breakneck speed. All that and more on At The Letters.
Bautista, high and deep, they have stayed there, ball. Stay fair, it is gone. You can always go back to the big guys to come up with big hits in tough situations.
And this place is going crazy right now, thanks to that guy.
Home run number 19. None bigger than that one.
Anytime you contribute, it makes it worthwhile. You know, it was a big moment. It was one of the most electric pitchers in the game. I was behind the count. I was simply trying to put the ball in play. His ball had some run. I just managed to get the head out and I connected.
It continues on At The Letters, Arden Zwelling with Ben Nicholson-Smith. You can get us on Twitter. I'm at Arden Zwelling. Ben's at B. Nicholson-Smith. Our producer, Sam McKee, is on Twitter at Sam A. McKee, if you want to give him a shout out as well. We are on sportsnet.ca and we're on iTunes. Please like, share, favorite, and subscribe. So here's a thing that should strike terror into the hearts of Blue Jays fans. If you're getting the postseason, the Toronto Blue Jays, you're getting a wild card game. That's kind of what you're hoping for right now, is an opportunity to go into a one-game playoff where that one game will decide your season. This is it. This is the thing. What should Blue Jays fans be bracing themselves for, Ben?
I think craziness. Not quite on the level of the National League where you might have a three-team wild card tiebreaker, but utter craziness and probably a ton of ups and downs emotionally in the course of, you know, 48 hours. It would be nuts. And that seems to be where they're headed, and potentially against the Orioles, which would make things even more interesting.
The way it's setting up right now, which is like the most amazing thing ever, is it's going to be Toronto and Baltimore in the wild card. Toronto playing for the right to get an ALDS rematch against the Texas Rangers.
Crazy.
Narratively, that is delicious.
Yeah.
That is wonderful.
Oh, yeah. I can already see the teasers on Sportsnet and on the American networks with the bat flip and the punch and everything else. I mean, it's...
Right?
But first you got
to
get there.
And having to get through the Orioles to get there, right?
First you got
to
get there.
Not exactly a team the Blue Jays have real, you know, smooth relations with over the years.
Right. Oh, for sure. I mean, just imagine Darren O'Day coming in the fifth inning, you know.
To face Jose Bautista.
Yeah, right? Picking up, you know, a starter potentially. And then, Bautista. There's a lot of history between these two teams. And you look at the way the Orioles are set up. And again, there's no guarantee. They could be facing the Tigers. They could be facing the Astros. Jays might miss the playoffs altogether. It's a real possibility. But as it stands now, it would be Jays and Orioles. And as it stands now, Chris Tillman would be the pitcher who lines up to start that game for Baltimore. And it's such an interesting decision for the Orioles when you look at it, because to me, they only have two choices, Tillman or Gausman. And it has to be one of those guys. With Tillman, he's a good pitcher. He's having a good year. But Bautista, Tulo, Pilar, all these guys have hit three home runs against Tillman. As a group, the Blue Jays have, even Ryan Goins has tons of success against Tillman in his career. So I don't know if you're Baltimore, how much confidence you'd have throwing him out there in a must-win game.
Chris Tillman has a 5.61 ERA in his career against the Toronto Blue Jays. That's over 131 innings. Pitching at the Rogers Center, Chris Tillman has been hit to the tune of a 1.008 OPS.
Yeah.
Those are bad numbers.
And the sample is actually, I mean, it's not
large.
Huge. But yeah, relatively speaking.
12 games at the Rogers Center.
Yeah,
I'm not talking like two games, 12 games, 1.008 OPS. That's 281 plate appearances.
He's faced Jose Bautista more than 50 times in his career. Bautista has hit him hard, as have many Blue Jays. So that's why if I'm the Orioles, I'm starting Kevin Gausman.
He's given up, Chris Tillman, this keeps getting better. He's given up 20 bombs in 12 games at Rogers Center.
Yeah.
20 in 12 games.
And if you look at the current, I mean, this isn't, that's not, you know, Adam Lind having done that in years past, although I'm sure that Lind got his share as well. But this is current Blue Jays. Guys on the roster right now have had a lot of success against Tillman.
Yeah, don't you dare denigrate Adam Lind.
Hey, sporting those blonde locks. I mean, it's quite a look there for.
That's
for
a guy who's just like playing out the string of his MLB career right now. I think that's a guy who's just getting through it. He's just a guy who makes money to play baseball now, I would say.
I think he's still got a. I thought he's might
not
have been
listening,
traded.
Ben, he's not listening.
I thought he might have been. He, you know what? He actually. Funny story about Adam Lind. He listened to Jay's talk with Wilner when he was on the DL here. So he's a Fan 590 listener.
Is that just Wilner saying that?
No, I heard Lind tell Wilner
that. Adam Lind listens to my show.
No, it's true.
All right. Speaking of rosters, how might the Blue Jays go about constructing? Let's start here. Let's establish a starter. No matter the matchup, whether it's Baltimore, Detroit, Houston, safe to say you're going to go with Aaron Sanchez?
I mean, I don't get a say in the matter. But if I'm the Toronto Blue Jays.
Thank you for clarifying that to me. You were making the decision, but I'm glad you let me know.
If I'm the Toronto Blue Jays, I would start Aaron Sanchez. And I would think that they would lean the same way.
Does Marco Estrada does someone make a case for him? Or even Jay Happ, who might be in the Cy Young conversation?
Happ's had a tremendous year. Estrada, great start against the Mariners. I think that you could make strong cases for both those guys.
Yeah.
The one thing is, as it stands now, they're going to be pitching Friday and Saturday.
Right.
In that series against the Red Sox. So they just wouldn't have the rest to do it. That's why I say Sanchez. I mean, or at least that's part of the reason why I say Sanchez. His day right now is Sunday. So if you push him back a little bit, then he's ready to go the wild card game.
What's kind of interesting about the Blue Jays schedule is that they'd planned things out to have Estrada, Happ, Sanchez in that Red Sox series at the end of the year because they were like, wow, these games are really going to mean something. Now, all of a sudden, the Orioles games, those are the ones. They got three against the Orioles right before. Those are the games that are massive now. Those are huge because that's the team that you're right, like battling for these wild card spots with. So those three games are maybe we'll see a little reshuffling. I don't know. They might not be able to.
Right.
Right. Like they, but I, you know, maybe if you could even, I don't know, insert R.A. Dickey somewhere to kind of give yourself a bit more flexibility and get the matchups you want in that Orioles series and those three. Or do you not want to show a potential wild card pitcher to the Baltimore Orioles in that series? Do you want to skip Aaron Sanchez in that series altogether so that you don't show him to them?
It's
a lot
tough
that goes into this.
Right. And I guess there's a give and take because first you got to get there. And so I think that ultimately the Jays would make the call that they're going to put their best pitchers out there as often as possible until the point that they clinch a playoff spot, if that should happen. Because you can't get too far ahead of yourself and too cute about trying to plan for a wild card game that may or may not happen.
Fair. So you're thinking Aaron Sanchez, and it's a purely a stuff argument. It's purely this guy is the best stuff, and this guy is, you know, is the most dominant guy. Even though Marco Estrada has come up with great outing, you know, his outing in Seattle was magnificent. The two in the playoffs last year. Even though Jay Happ has maybe been the most consistent Blue Jays pitcher over the year, you still go with the stuff argument.
Well, you've got I think again with Sanchez, it's two things. One, he's been great too, and secondly, his day just lines up that way. So I think that the Blue Jays probably set it up they were mapping out his pitching. They probably set it up knowing that if the last game didn't matter, they could push him back to game one of the ALDS or a wild card game.
That aside, if you could set it up the way you wanted to, would you still go with Sanchez?
Yeah, I probably would because I think that either way, you need, let's say, 5-6 innings from your starter in a wild card game. No more than that.
Right.
And you're probably going to Asuna for two. You're probably going to Grilly and Benoit, Cecil. You're going to your top bullpen arms and you're using them pretty heavily. So you just need 5 innings. Guys like Happ, whose strength is the ability to deliver consistent innings start over start for 6 months, I'm not sure that plays up in a wild card game quite in the same way that Sanchez would, where he can overpower guys.
The other interesting thing is that you say you start Sanchez, but you would have like a Marco Estrada on your roster. For the possibility that Aaron Sanchez comes in and says, oh, I got a hot spot on my finger, I got a blister acting up, or Aaron Sanchez just doesn't have it that day. All pitchers have days where they don't have it. So you could be like a situation where it's like, you know, wow, Aaron Sanchez is getting barreled up right now. We're in the second inning. Let's bring in Marco Estrada and like start over.
Seriously. And then this is, you have pitchers on the shortest of short leashes in these games, at least you should. And so, yeah, you're going to have at least, I think with the Jays, the way their roster is, not having a deep bullpen, I think you have at least 3-4 starters on a wild card game roster. I think that you have Sanchez. I think you have Estrada as a long man. I think you have Liriano because you don't have a lot of left. I mean, you don't have any lefties you can trust after Brent Cecil.
I like that. Yeah.
And then I think you carry Stroman because Stroman's someone who, you know, let's say the game is in the 10th inning and you want a couple from someone who can give you a good look for a couple innings, I'd be fine with Stroman in that spot if I'm the Jays.
What a strange game that would be. If you, like, Aaron Sanchez starts and then, yeah, really tough lefty, you know, Chris Davis coming up or something. Here comes Liriano to get him. And then, you know what I mean? Like, bases loaded in the third inning for Chris Davis and, you know, who has good numbers against Sanchez, I would assume. You bring in Liriano, gets him out, and then you go to Estrada for a couple innings.
Right.
And then you go to Stroman.
Right. Yeah. But it's all hands on deck. It's all, and then that's where it gets to be like almost the idea of the starter for this game is a misnomer. Because, they're going to start, but it's not like Sanchez is going to have to prepare for 115 pitches. He's probably going to go light it up for 4 or 5 innings, and then you replace him.
It's a good way to point it. It's not your starter. Like, it's your first guy.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to, even if Aaron's, like, it would be hard to imagine Aaron Sanchez pitching into the 7th, 8th inning of a wild card game.
Unless you're Clayton Kershaw, it almost shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And we've seen it, you know, Francisco Liriano did pitch in a wild card game. We've seen guys go deep, but more often than not, that's in games where the leverage is relatively low because your team's built up a lead.
How do you then build your position play? How do you build your bench? Like, what are you doing?
Talking to a few guys who have built rosters for these games, I think the way to do it is you want to have guys with special skills on a bench, kind of like you would in the regular season. So that means for the Jays, you're going to have Pompey. You're going to have probably Ryan Goins, because he can give you plus defense if you need it late in the game. And for the record, late in the wild card game, if you have a one-run lead, I would substitute Travis for Goins. Because at that point, you've got to bring in all your best defenders.
Right. Yeah.
So you have guys who can defend, guys who can run. In an ideal world, you have guys who give you good pinch hit options off the bench. I'm not sure the Blue Jays roster lends itself to that. Last year, a guy like Colabello, with the season he was having, would have been perfect, where you can bring him in, especially against a lefty, and he'll give you a good at-bat. This year, I'm not sure that I see a ton of offense on the Jays bench.
You get 25, right?
So, and you reset after the game.
Yeah, and you're right. But so it's going to be, considering, you know, just depending how many arms you take. Like, do you take a full bullpen? Do you, like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus the starters, or do you consider those starters a part of the bullpen?
Yeah, I get it. Right. Yeah, I would take, I mean, here's...
How many arms other than your starter would you take?
5.
Just 5 pitchers other than your starter.
Oh, sorry. I mean...
So you take Aaron Sanchez.
Yeah.
And then how many pitchers after him?
8 or 9. Something like that.
So
based on past team.
So you're not going to have that much room on your bench.
You'd have a little more room than you would during the regular season.
Why?
Because you're carrying fewer starters. Because in the regular season, you have to carry 5 starters. In the wild card game, you're carrying maybe 3, something like that. So you can expand your bench a little. Maybe that allows you to take a Pompey, someone who wasn't there for the first 5 months of the year.
Right. Fair enough. Last year, I just pulled it up here. The Yankees took 9 pitchers, 3 catchers, 7 infielders, 6 outfielders.
Yeah.
They balanced.
That's pretty standard.
Yeah. That's pretty much what you're looking for there, right?
I think that's pretty.
Would the Blue Jays take 3 catchers?
See, I wonder. I don't know.
They only take 2.
Do you have a leaning on that one?
I would think Martin and Navarro. Yeah. If Dickey's not on your roster, then you don't need Tolley.
Yeah,
and those are the only catchers on your 40.
The one thing Tolley gives you is if he's around, then you can pinch hit using Navarro.
Right.
If you want to do that, Navarro hasn't looked good at the plate.
I mean. Is that really going to be the pinch hitter you're going to go to over like a Justin Smoke?
Or, even Zeke. I think Zeke would be someone. He's hit a pinch hit home run this year.
Zeke. Yeah. You know, or like over, you know, depending on who starts, it would be either Upton or Saunders would probably be available to you maybe. Or I don't know. It depends who you use your DH on. Like, there's a lot of thoughts there. And it depends who's going to be starting, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. If somebody's starting lefty against you, you're probably not starting Michael Saunders. But would somebody start a lefty against the Blue Jays in a wild card game? I don't know. They haven't hit lefties that well this year.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
You start looking, too, at the teams out there. Yeah. And I guess if it's Houston, they might start Keuchel. But if it's the Tigers, they're starting a righty, Fulmer or Verlander. And if it's the Orioles, they're starting a righty, and Tillman or Gausman. So you're probably facing a righty.
Right.
So how would you set up the bullpen?
So I mean, I think that past, so Osuna, Grilli, Benoit, I'll include Cecil in this group, and Biagini.
Yeah.
Like those are the five guys, those are the only five guys I trust.
Yep.
And I think those are the only five guys John Gibbons trusts.
I think that his bullpen usage strongly backs that up.
That's it. So past those five, I mean, the only thing that I would want past that would be another lefty, but
they don't
have another lefty. Yeah. Like Aaron Loop got results yesterday, but he was not putting that ball where he needed to be putting that ball. Sliders that were nowhere near or over the heart of the plate and elevated. You know what I mean? Like fastballs that just couldn't hit the zone. He's still like, he gets a lot of velo on his fastball, but he just can't put it where he wants it to be. So I don't trust him. I haven't seen enough of Matt Dermody. I think Francisco Liriano kind of is your lefty behind Cecil.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'd go with those five and then probably, yeah, the starters you mentioned.
Yeah.
That's it for the Blue Jays. Who else do you trust? Scott Feldman, maybe? No. Yeah.
Just you can do better for a long man because you can go to one of your starters.
Bo Schultz, maybe?
I mean, you can't rule it out. But, you know, going back to your Loop point, who, if you have a lefty specialist, you have him there to get out a big lefty in a big spot.
Yeah.
Are you really going to see John Gibbons go to Aaron Loop against Chris Davis?
You would hope not. Yeah. If you're a Blue Jays fan, you would hope not.
Yeah. I just
can't trust him right
so
now.
So then why use the roster spot?
Yeah.
And we're getting ahead of ourselves. There's 10 days left. But I see at that point, go to an extra, you know, bench guy. You know, maybe you take an extra outfielder. Maybe you take Toley to free up Navarro. Just do something else. Because if you can't trust someone, then what's the point of even having them around?
Many, many things to consider when you're setting up a wild card roster, and there are many podcasts to consider when you listen to podcasts. We're glad you considered ours.
Very glad.
That was smooth. That went well. Thanks for coming along. That's going to be for us on At the Letters for Ben Nicholson-Smith, for Sam McKee. My name's Arden Zwelling. We'll see you next week on At the Letters.